today on Real Radio.
Look around us. God wants to move again. He's not dead. He's not gone. God is not retired. He wants to move. Christians can wake up. We can pray. We can repent. We can seek God. And listen, when we do that, He begins to heal our land. The answer's with us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, as we head towards the end of Isaiah, we've seen the hand of God over everything that's happened in both Isaiah's time and in the time when Jesus was here on earth in bodily form. But what becomes even more clear is God's unrelenting love for us. He not only gave His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, but He gave us the hope of Christ's return, when He'll rule and reign and bring His form of justice to the world. In part 2 of Isaiah chapter 59, we saw how Christianity is built on God's promises. He kept His promises to Israel, and He's going to keep His promises to us. God is real, and His mercy is what's relevant in our lives. A time will come when the world will be deceived by the Antichrist through a false sense of peace and prosperity. That's why the time is right now to put your trust in the Lord. So today, continuing in chapter 59, Pastor Jack tells us that holiness, justice, and truth are the foundations of God's character. We only benefit when we put our hearts and minds towards Him. He is the only one who can give everlasting life to those who follow Him. And now in his lesson called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And we're looking at this message that's entitled What is Real, What is Relevant. And Isaiah now is laying the final arguments. Now, prophetically, he's laying the final arguments that will lead to chapter 60 down and out to the end of his prophetic ministry in chapter 66. But tonight, Isaiah chapter 59, and we have been in this study, so please bear with me in the sense that I will not be going through the entire chapter, but we're going to be picking up where we left off. But in the top of your notes, I'm going to ask you to write some things down. I'm going to ask you to put these two words down regarding Isaiah 59, and it's justice and truth. Justice and truth. This is what the prophet is speaking about, and of course, he's talking to the nation of Israel. And as we get ready for this, Psalm 89, verse 14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. It speaks of the righteousness of God. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, I said in my heart, Solomon writes, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time for every purpose and for every work. God is righteous, God is holy, God is just, God is true. And Isaiah now is issuing, and he has been issuing, a verdict to the nation of Israel, specifically Judah to the south, as to why difficult days were coming. The Bible's clear. God is a God of love, and He wants your life blessed. We looked at that last time. But when we take our eyes off of God and disobey God, we wind up reaping from our own decisions, okay? So none of us are qualified or sanctioned or have the authority to say, God, why did you do this to me? When you're the one that decided to go out and get drunk and wrap the car around a telephone pole. God had nothing to do with that. Are you with me? Oh, I wound up making this decision, bought this house, whole thing fell apart, lost so much money in the deal. Why did God do this to me? Did God tell you to buy the house? Did you pray? Did you seek the Lord? What was the input from your husband, your wife? How did that go? Oh, well, you know, I hear this as a pastor over and over again. We've decided to move out of this state. Okay, first of all, if God told you to move, move. But a lot of times people will move because, watch, we got a great job offer. I'm not knocking that. That could be a good thing. But I'll ask them this. Have you looked at the churches in the town that you're moving to? No, why? Why is that important? Seriously? And when you make that decision, listen, God will always promote you into an oasis, even if it's in the wilderness. Are you with me? When God does the promoting, he never retards you or curtails you spiritually. Never. The children of Israel had to get out of Egypt and into the wilderness for them to see God. This is a very important thing to remember. When God works in our lives, he will always, if he's the one doing the advancing, it will always go from one spiritual high or level to the next. He will never send you into spiritual deprivation. Even if you are called by God into a wilderness, I'm trying to think of a wilderness. I'm not talking about the deserts of Mojave. I'm talking about the wilderness of New York City. Would God ever call you to the wilderness of Seattle? Look, it's a beautiful place, but it is spiritually void. Have you been there? Would God send me there? Only if he's going to elevate you spiritually. That's the way he works. When you and I go backwards spiritually, well, that's our doing. And we saw that in the opening verses of Isaiah very quickly. In Isaiah chapter 59, I'll paraphrase verses 1 and 2. God says that his hand is not short that he cannot save you, neither is his ear deaf that he cannot hear you, but your sins have separated you from your God, so says the scripture. And so with that, we were looking at why do we experience alienation from God. I'm going to put up on a screen to you right now what an old commentator had to say. We'll read it together. You guys have that? There it is. Kind of doesn't fit, so I'll do my best. He goes on to explain why when they sought the Lord, he did not seem to answer or hear. For there was unjudged sin that needed to be dealt with. The psalmist had written long before, quote, if I regard iniquity in my heart, so you think of you and I, if I know in my heart that there's sin, the Lord will not hear me, close quote. They were covering up their sins and hoping to please God by observance of outward form and attendance to ritual. That's religion, by the way. That's the definition of religion right there. But he says of them, they hatch. Cockatrice is a poisonous snake. It's an old English word for a venomous poisonous snake, or adder, which is still a very old word for snake. Adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. Very graphic language. The danger of the believer disobeying God and winding up in the place of not being able to have their prayers answered and God to hear. And repentance is the only thing that brings us back to God. For the I'm not talking about the non-Christian. I'm talking about the Christian. I'm talking about us tonight. If we find ourselves alienated, oh, church, listen up. In your life, are you going through the motions and there's no fire anymore in your soul to love on God, to pursue God, to draw near to God? Listen, check your heart as I must check mine. Are we moving like the Mojave Desert and the great trains of commerce that go across that desert? They're legendary. And you see those great diesel engines pulling miles. Do you know that across the desert? Miles of length of train pulling supplies into the Southland. And did you know that if you pull the throttle off of one of those trains, it would go for miles and miles and miles before you would ever begin to realize that you're slowing down? It's got no power. The train, because of the momentum, is going along, but there's no power. And listen, in Christianity, we can be like that. We can be going because we're now running off of a past spiritual high. And we're listen, we go to worship and like tonight, Gia's leading us in wonderful worship, but we're kind of like this. And you're like, well, that's a nice song. Did I lock the door before I came? You know, you're not even into it. This is our time to love on God. Can you imagine if you're together with your husband and wife, and there's young people here. So, you know, husband and wife, you know, like you're wrestling or something, you know? And one or the other says, I need to change the oil in the car, I think. Excuse me? What an insult. Are you with me? No, listen, your heart's got to be in it. And if our heart's not in it, it's kind of like the engine where the power's off and we've been cruising a long time and we have failed to recognize our hearts have grown cold. Why and how? Because we've allowed sin in our lives. And we saw last time together that we saw that to keep it real and to keep it relevant before God in verses 3-8, we looked at the fact that we need to look into the mirror. We really need to judge ourselves, church. And that was something that was very convicting for us because God was saying to them, Israel, this is what's happening to you because you have failed to recognize. You're very religious, but you have failed to be real with me. Now we pick it up tonight. Look in verses 9-15. We need to look around us. He says in verse 9, therefore, justice is far from us. Again, he's talking to Israel. Let's just insert America. Nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for the light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. Isaiah is speaking on behalf, church, listen, Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the nation like a doctor would say, I'm going to speak on behalf of the diagnosis. You have this situation. This is what's wrong with you. So says the doctor. Okay? Isaiah says, nation, this is what's wrong with you. But the problem is this, God is only talking to those who believe in him. America tonight fits verses 9 and 10. We need to look around us. And Christian, please be careful. We can look outside the windows of this church or house and say, isn't the world wicked? Of course it's wicked. Oh man, it's, you know, boy, that's terrible. And we're looking at our TV, right? And we're condemning all these nasty things in the culture. I get that. But God is not yet condemning them in the culture. God's not pointing his finger to the culture yet. Are you tracking with me, church? The day of judgment's coming. It's not here yet for the unbeliever. But God says, and he tells you, judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord. When God speaks to his people and brings conviction, he's talking to those who know him. The world is out there doing tonight what the world does. How can you expect anything good out of the world? Well, boy, there's nothing. They lie, they cheat, they steal. Mm-hmm. What's new? Are you with me? It's what they do. You are of the Lord. You are of the church. You don't do that anymore. So when God says, I'm going to judge the nation, do you know who he's speaking to? He's speaking to the believers. We are the ones. I know the world hates us, and praise the Lord they do. You know what I'm saying? Because the world's supposed to hate us. They don't understand us, but they hate us. And that's a good thing, because God said it would be this way. Jesus said it's going to be like this. Here's the thing. What the world does not know is that because of us praying for them and praying for this nation, they're not consumed. Think about it. God is restraining judgment from the United States right now because there are Christians who have a contrite spirit and a broken heart for this nation. And they're standing for the right thing. They're doing the right thing. And God honors that. He blesses obedience. He's not expecting righteousness out of the unrighteous, right? He's not expecting light from those who walk in darkness. But are we not children of the light? So says the word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. What is that? The things of God. God is speaking to his people, and he expects us, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, he expects us to tell our kids and our grandkids, the generations behind us, about the great things of God. And of course, you probably know by now, if you don't, I never get together with the worship team. We never say, well, you know, what songs are you? No, change that one. Let's do this one. I don't involve myself. I let the Spirit of God lead them. And I was blessed tonight that Gia came out here tonight, sang the songs that she did and led us in worship. And that one old song, which I can't even remember, the Abba Father song, I don't know if any of you were around in the 70s and the 80s at Calvary Chapel, but man, those are the songs we sang. And she's leading us. She's young enough to be my daughter. She's leading us. And generationally, she took me back to when I was young. And it was, oh, Lord, you are awesome. I was back over here during worship. I could see the sanctuary I was in at Costa Mesa. I could look around. I could see friends that I knew then. It was only a hand, less than one handful now I know from those days. But I was having a great time back there while we're singing that song tonight. And God is good. God has been faithful. And I got to tell you, listen, I was with Don Stewart yesterday and we were talking and we were just praising God for his goodness. And we're kind of pinching ourselves because we've been walking with Jesus 40 years plus. We've watched him do amazing things. And him and I agreed together, who are we to have seen these things? Answer, nobody. But by God's grace, we've walked with him. And let's be honest, whenever he or I or you have ever tried to walk away from God, you know what? I'm here today. I'm here tonight because when I tried to meander off, I never once ever said, God, that's it. I've had it. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm not going to church anymore. I've never done that. But you know what? I kind of let the engine pull back on the throttle and coast a while. And then you wake up and it's been 3, 4, 5 days. I've read my Bible, haven't prayed. Start to get a little, what's the word they called it back in those days? Sloppy agape. You know, you're just not loving so much. And it happens very slowly, you know. A friend of mine in Seattle who is a pastor said, Satan is a gradualist. That's a good word. You know, there's a lot of people running around tonight going, boo! Satan never does that. No, he pulls up right alongside you and he winks at you and says, nice to you, show you some respect, give you a little, you know, flattery, a little bit here, a little bit there. That's how he works. He's very good at that, very subtle, very powerful. We need to stay close. We need to repeat the things of God to our kids. We need to remind them of what America was like when it sought God. Many of you perhaps are in this room tonight when we had in public schools a Bible. We had prayer in public schools. I was in public school, in a non-Christian, listen, public school. When I forget what event it was, but the astronauts were in trouble and we were called to the multi-purpose room and we were led by what was probably even a non-Christian principal in a prayer for the astronauts that got stuck up there. Something was wrong and they couldn't come back. Do you remember that, anybody? Wow. What was it? Apollo 13? Wow. Amazing. We need to get back. We need to tell our kids what it was like to be able to ride our bikes to the beach alone when there was no cell phones. And when you were lost, you would ask a stranger, hey, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm trying to get home without being molested or kidnapped. Not to mention the fact, growing up in Southern California, we played all summer long. By the way, everybody had summer off in those days, just the way God intended it. And we all played in the riverbed and in the big flood control channels, catching fish. I'm going off. It was an amazing time to live. It was just amazing. And then in the 70s and 80s, everything in California was this. Anybody know what this means? Say it louder. Go ahead. One way Jesus, all over, right? Remember that? You're driving around just like this. Total strangers. People do it back. Seriously. Isaiah 55 verse 6 tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Wow. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. What a beautiful thing. Walking with God, sticking it out with God. Look around us. God wants to move again. He's not dead. He's not gone. God is not retired. He wants to move. Our nation is wrapped up in sin, lying, cheating, stealing, broken promises. Our culture is crazy. Yes, it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. But the house of God can wake up. Christians can wake up. We can pray. We can repent. We can seek God. And listen, when we do that, he begins to heal our land. The answer's with us. The answer's with us. Stephen Covey writes, it's a famous quote now. I think he's a motivational speaker guy. I don't usually quote these kind of people, but he said a good thing here. It says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. That's wise stuff. That's smart. That's true. Look at verse 9 says, for we look for light, but there is darkness, brightness, but we walk in blackness. That's a convicting thought. We have to be careful about that. Verse 10 goes on, for we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. What a graphic picture. We stumble at noonday as at twilight, and we are as dead men in desolate places. Jesus said regarding this, and I'm wondering if as the Holy Spirit's the author of the entire Bible and including as Jesus spoke, he said, I always say those things that please the Father. Then listen to the unison of this. In Matthew chapter 6:22, Jesus said, listen carefully, the lamp of the body is the eye. So watch this. Whatever you allow into here, okay, it affects your body, who you are. Watch how this goes. For if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, is there a filter on your eye? If it's allowing in good light, then good for you. Then right on. But verse 23, if your eye is bad, I think some of the versions render it, if your eye is dark, if it's darkened, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, isn't that an interesting statement? If the light that is in you is darkness. Translation, if the illumination of your life that you've allowed your eyes to behold is perverted, mean, ugly, nasty, critical, evil, what does Jesus say? How great is that darkness? Isn't that something? What a picture that is. We need to look around us in all honesty. It's very powerful what he's saying. Look at verse 11, for we all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. This is a result of sin in our lives. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, that is before God, and our sins testify against us. Listen, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. That is a strong word. It means this. You guys, have you ever seen the old like neon signs? I think of neon signs, I think of like Route 66, you know, those old vintage signs, and they're neon, and it says like, eat here or eat at Joe's Diner, and it has like this finger pointing. Why am I saying this? Because what's implied here is that sin, unrepented of sin in our lives, it's always pointing at you. It's always pointing at me. So what does this do? You live with guilt. We forget, or we do not know, that this thing of shame and guilt that traffics in the human life, you don't have to have that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 3. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. You know, God is quick to forgive. So don't waste any more time on things that are meaningless in the end. But come to Jesus today. What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.